faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we know that faith, it's a substance. It is something. Now God says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And that's a Christian's life. You know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we should be striving to please God. And last one verse here, how do we find faith? It says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we know that the Bible, if we continue to keep our nose in it and reading it, meditating on it, that'll help us in our ways of getting faith. And faith is a gift from God. It's not something that we can work up or earn ourselves. It is a gift. I was always surprised and thought it was interesting whenever Jesus would say, your faith has saved you, or how great is your faith, that he was usually talking to someone outside of, let's say, his circle of friends. It was outside of the disciples or the people that was around him, the women that supplied him with out of their substance and that was always with him. When he would say something like, your faith has made you whole, it was usually to somebody else. I want to read a couple of examples of those. You all know these stories. He entered a certain village and there met him 10 men who were lepers. And so they wanted to be healed, so they come to Christ and he asked Christ to heal them, and he healed them, all 10 of them. And when one of them saw that he was healed, he returned to Christ. He returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet and giving him thanks. And this man was a Samaritan. And Jesus says, were there not 10 cleansed? He said, but where are the 9? Were there not any found to return glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Then there was a certain blind man who was sitting by the road begging. He was from Jericho. When he heard the multitude passing by, he asked who it was, and he said it was Jesus. And he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And those who went before him, this is the disciples, they said he should be quiet. They wanted him to be quiet. They didn't want him shouting out to Christ. But Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. So when they brought the man nearer to him, he said, what do you want me to do? And Jesus, the man says, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has saved you. There was a centurion, remember him, and he wanted his son to be healed. And after Christ healed him, Christ said of this centurion, says, you know, told his disciples, I have not found such great faith, no, not even in Israel. Now, it always surprised me that Christ was always speaking to someone outside when he told them that your faith has saved you and how great is your faith. But on the other hand, there was six times in the Bible where he said, oh, ye of little faith. And you know, every time he said that, who he was talking to? He was talking to his disciples. There was a great tempest on the sea. The waves were raging. The disciples came to him and woke him up and said, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the sea, and there was a great calm. Another time, right after he had just fed the 5,000, he went out and prayed, and he sent the disciples out on the boat. And so the boat kind of drifted out in the middle of the sea, So when Christ came, he walked on the water to the boat. So when Peter seen him walking on the water, he said to Christ, he says, "If it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And so Christ says, "Come." So when Peter went down out of the boat, he walked on the water to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous and he was afraid, began to sink, he says, "Lord, save me." And what did Jesus Christ say to him? He says, "Oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" So doubting is just the opposite of having faith. A couple other incidents about having faith, and I'm sure you remember them and you know them too. Now, I want to go to Matthew 17. Matthew 17, and we'll start in verse 14. Matthew 17 and verse 14. "And when he had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him, saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic, suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and oftentimes into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him.' And Jesus said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me.'" So Christ rebuked the demon, and it came out of the child at the very same hour. Then the disciple says, "Why could we not cast this demon out?" Christ says, "Because of your unbelief. For surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Look at that again. He says, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, "Move from here." Now, some people think that that's a literal statement. And I've had someone say to me, anytime Christ says something that's literal, dogmatic, says, "I believe it. If he says you can tell this mountain to move and you have enough faith, you could do that." Others don't think that that's exactly what it means. I'm not going to tell you what it means because I'll let you make your own decision up for that. I know what I think, but I'll just tell you what some of the commentaries say about Matthew 17:20. It said the mustard seed was the smallest of all seeds. This is Barnes' notes on Matthew 17:20. "It has been supposed by some, therefore, that he meant to say, if you have the smallest amount of faith that is genuine." So if you only have a tiny bit amount of faith, but is it genuine, then you can do all things. The mustard seed produced the largest of all herbs. In Matthew 13, and talking about the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, it shows that it is the smallest of all seeds, but it grows into the greatest of all herbs, into a tree where the birds come and nest in it. "That it has been supposed by others, therefore, to mean, if you have increasing faith," like the mustard seed, it just increases, "expanding in large faith, growing and strengthening from small beginnings, you can perform the most difficult undertaking. There is a principle of vitality in the grain of seed stretching forth to great results, which illustrates the nature of faith." Your faith should be like that. So this person is saying that if you have just the smallest amount of faith, that you can actually remove mountains or trees or whatever. Clark's commentary says, "As a grain of mustard seed, some critics think this is a proverbial expression, meaning a great degree of faith, because removing mountains, Paul compares to all faith." That's in the love chapter. Paul says, "If I have all faith, and if I'm able to move mountains," he said, "but if I don't have love, it profits me nothing." The greatest possible degree of faith is attributed here by our Lord to that faith which is as a grain of mustard seed. However this may be, however it may be, there can be no doubt that Jesus means a thriving and increasing faith, which like a grain of mustard seed, from being the least of seeds, becomes the greatest of all herbs, even a tree in whose branches the birds of the air take shelter. Now Wesley says about this, to remove mountains was a proverbial phrase among the Jews, and it is still retained in their writings to express a thing which is very difficult and in appearance impossible. I'd like to go to Matthew 21. Matthew 21, and we'll start in verse 18. This is another story about the fig tree. Remember, Christ cursed the fig tree and said, let no fruit grow on you ever again. He says, let no fruit grow on you ever again. Immediately, the fig tree withered away. This is in verse 19. Now, verse 20, when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? And Jesus said, surely I say to you, if you have faith and you do not doubt, there again, faith and doubt go together. If you doubt, then you don't have faith. You will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. So here again is a belief that if you say to this mountain, be removed, or say to this tree, be cast into the sea, that it will happen if you have the smallest amount of faith. Now this thing about mountains being cast into the sea, it's really an old belief. Let's go all the way back to Psalms. Psalms 46. Psalms 46 in verse 1. It says, God is our refuge and strength. And we know that. Our very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. So this saying about the mountains being carried into the midst of the sea, it goes back a long, long way. I'll go back to Matthew 21. I want to read the commentary on Matthew 21:21. This is Clark's commentary. It says, if you have faith and doubt not, removing mountains and rooting up mountains are phrases very generally used to signify the removing or conquering great difficulties, getting through perplexities. In this sense, our Lord's words are to be understood. He that has faith will get through every difficulty. Mountains shall become molehills or just plains before them. The saying is neither to be taken in a literal sense. It is a proverbial form of speech which no Jew could misunderstand and with which no Christian should be puzzled. Now that's Clark's commentary. I want to go back and read something that Mr. Armstrong wrote in a Good News article many, many years ago. He says, if God has promised it, that's all you need. This little book is a Bible promise book. It says there's over 1,000 promises from God in the Bible. If God has promised, that's all you need. If God delays, He has a reason. It's only a delay, not a refusal. So trust Him. Keep on trusting Him. Be patient. The answer is sure. Arise from your bed of doubt and walk the walk of faith. So our faith has to be in God. Only God can remove mountains or cast trees into the midst of the sea. Matter of fact, if God wanted to, He could take this whole earth and remove it and put it in another solar system somewhere, and none of us would even know it. God has all the power in the universe. So, just in conclusion, I have 3 points here. First, we must have faith that God exists. And I know everyone here has that faith. In the world, a lot of people say that they believe in God, but they really don't. But I know everyone here knows God, and you believe God. We must have faith that God exists. Two, we must have faith that God has all power. And I know everyone here believes that. There's no doubt there at all in our minds. And number three, we must have faith God will answer all of our prayers. The Bible says if you can believe it, you know, it'll happen. So let's remember, every day we walk by faith and not by sight.